Open the meeting. We will begin with public comments. Dave?
I have, but I think I should be, I'm asking to be on the agenda for, it's not public comment, I guess part of it could be public comment, but I do have a request that a family's made to me about a marker.
Okay.
Should that be an old business?
Is that the one you and I talked about?
No.
Is this the one with the raised?
No.
Oh, it's not the raised marker?
No, we've taken care of that one.
Okay.
And thank you for that. That was a necessary thing to do.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'd say go now.
If you want to, go ahead, Dave. I don't see where we need to fit it in any particular.
And I have a couple of public comments. I'm going to hand out, which is a schematic there of block 70, lot 13, I think. Could be a 3. I think it's a 13.
Hey.
And this is the same thing. It's a, I took my helicopter up a little bit.
Is it block 70?
Lot 70?
13.
Or lot 13.
Lot 13, block 70.
Okay.
So, we buried Charlotte Kate Jensen in that block. The family, Virgil Todd, it's the Todd family plot. And Virgil is an older guy that's going to be buried there too. And they had their son, Virgil's grandson, made a big iron thing that says Todd on it. And I know they could put that at the head of the grave. But what the family would like to do is, if you look at these little things, I'm very hacky, silver marker, I put where they'd like to put that. And it's in the Todd spaces, but it's at the north end facing the road, so as they drive up, they can see it there. They're not looking at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And they'd like to put it that way if they could.
So point to me where they want to put it. I don't see it on here.
It's right here.
Oh, they want to put it up here.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the
yeah,
block.
See, and here's a road, uh-huh. And block 70, lot 13, and this is where that little gold arrow-looking thing is. It's right there. It's not near a road. This is an alleyway, actually, and just grass. This is grass.
Yeah, so no passing. It's just a so the thing would sit right there. Then.
Yeah.
I don't see any problem with it, right?
Is that north and south or east?
Yeah, north and south.
And they drive right here. They want to be able to see it right there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right here.
No, they don't drive there. That's
going to come right there.
That's grass. That's in between
yeah.
the lines.
In between. Okay.
So the really great parts are the road.
So it doesn't, it's not sticking out on the
road
or anything.
No.
So they want it going this way, not this way.
Yeah.
That's
The reason, there's another one out there that's kind of like that, real close there, and they said, well, we just figured that we could do it because they did it, and I thought, I don't know. But I told them, I wasn't going to say yes until I asked the board.
Do they own lot 10 as well, or is it just going to be for this?
They own that whole.
They own the whole block.
The whole. All the spaces.
The Wilson name,
too. It's their property.
The Wilson name, too.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's part of the family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Virgil's going to be buried in that yellow one. That's number 3.
Okay.
So, basically, it's all family. I mean, I guess as long as it's not being put up where there's other.
Yeah.
Right. And they own the property, so don't see any reason why they couldn't.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Yeah. We all agree.
As long as they're not going to put it up and then have to tear it down. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only other two.
What?
And as long as we're not putting it up.
No, you're not putting it up.
Okay.
No.
Do you know what size it is?
It's about this big.
Okay, so it's...
And it stands up about this.
Yeah, it's not...
Some of the grandson made, they're really proud of it.
Yeah, it's not 6x6 or 8x6.
Yeah, it's got some real sentimental...
Branch.
Yeah, it's not going to look like the part of the trail.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay. That's wonderful.
Thank you for that. The other two, I have a concern driving around the cemetery, is the new markers that they put up are great. But when they get bent, they're staying bent. And I think that when those kids hit those with the mower, they should be required to not only, you know, report it to Grant, but to fix it and get them straight, because more and more as summer goes on, I see more and more of those things bump, bent, leaning up against trees. And it's an easy fix. You take it out, straighten the post, and tell the kids not to run into the dang thing.
Yes. Yes.
But it's really starting to look junk.
If, just for some information, when we put those signs in, they weren't the best sign in the world. The posts are only planted about 6 inches in the ground. So a lot of what you're seeing that's leaning is caused somewhat by the wind also, because those posts, the wind blows those, you're talking about the lot signs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The wind blows those signs and they're not stable at all. So what we did, what I did with Megan is we designed a way of putting a steel post, incorporating a steel post with the sign itself.
Yeah.
And those, basically what they're waiting on right now is my steel post driver to drive all those steel posts. So that'll make them completely solid.
And some of them are all bent to heck, too. So
but yeah, I'm not saying that they don't get hit with a mower. I mean, but with the steel post in place, there would be a lot less chance that they're going to get it. It was a poor choice of a sign. It just didn't have enough post to it. The post wasn't weak. But like I say, Megan and I designed a system of putting a steel post in. So you don't even know that it's hard to even see that there's a steel post in it. But the steel post goes below, I mean, right to the spade, which is about 16 inches. So it'll make it a lot more solid. I mean, you won't see, hopefully we won't see all that. But they're waiting on my steel post driver. I'm still using it myself. I've got a power steel post driver now. Mm-hmm. I have those steel posts. Mm-hmm. So,
but those should be fixed in a short amount of time. Hit one, you come and report it to Paul or Grant, and get it fixed the next day. Because I'm sure they're more green posts.
Just fix it.
Yeah.
Fix
them.
Well, anyway, it's just becoming a bigger problem. The other thing is, you know, it's been a very wet year, and as we all know, and there's a lot of hay out there that's going to turn into really dry grass. That's going to be a real fire hazard. And I would just like to suggest that the cemetery board either hire somebody to hay it, then split the hay, make some money, or just put some cows in there and let them eat it down. You know, rent it out that $30 a head to cows, you know, whatever you can do to take away that danger. And there's one spot there.
You're talking about
both sides.
I know Adams.
Bill Adams and over there by the Joy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that little spot there where I come out of one of my gates and have to go into another gate to get to my west field, that little place that I hitched to hay that, and then we'll go into the adverse of that. But I'd like to get permission to cut that hay and bale it. I'll pay you for the bales, whatever the going price is. But I just hate seeing it go to waste. On the other side of that steel, that concrete ditch, and there's no bridge. So if you hayed that up in the south part, you're not going to be able to get to that anyway. And I hate it for a couple of years, and got in trouble for it last time I did it. So I don't have to talk to the sheriff again.
So you're talking about haying through the gate and around.
Yeah,
so you don't drive over.
Yeah, I got six little bales off of it. I got in trouble, but it's just that little bend oxbow in the ditch right there. And I'm just, you know, the guy that does my age is going to run over it. You know?
I don't see an issue with that.
I don't either.
Board member has an issue with that at all. And as far as the hay, I mean,
okay.
I have no issue with that.
keep the hay as far as putting it up. Yeah. I mean, it's going to cost you.
Well, I'd rather see us use it instead of have it burn up.
Yeah.
Makes better sense.
And
I think
as far as
hay, donate it to somebody who really needs it.
As far as haying the rest of it, one of the reasons I think the previous board decided not to hay some of it is because it just wasn't very much there during these dry years.
Well, it's pretty thick right now.
Now I mean,
it's really good.
Put up hay around the outhouse this year, you know. So
yeah, I'm not a hay guy. I think
the board needs to discuss whether we're going to go after that hay again or not. I don't like the idea of a grazing situation. I think if we're going to harvest it, I prefer to put up for hay as opposed to being.
Oh, anyway, those are my thoughts.
You wanted to graze it?
No,
that's not what he said.
Oh, well, I don't care about it, but I know people would jump on it in a heartbeat.
Just to
graze it. Yeah.
Just to lease it for a while and eat the grass up.
Yeah, they're getting $25, $30, maybe $40 a head, you know, for cows. And if you had them in there for 3 months, and, you know, 20 cows in there, that's a pretty good chunk of money. So that's all I got.
All right. Thank you.
Easy. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. All right, we're still on public comments. Are there any other public comments? Anybody? Paper? Nothing over there. Then we move on to approving the vouchers, and we can only approve what we have signed.
We need to discuss those.
Yeah, I believe we would. We're going to go into executive session to discuss
all those. Okay.
Is that what you...
That would be my preference.
What's your preference? Chanda, I know you need to leave prior to the meeting being over.
I can get him.
Pardon me?
Just let me know when you're ready. I can get him. That's not a problem.
She'll get him, she said.
Yeah, okay. We can just leave him here at the office and pick him up. So we will not be... Yes.
What did you want to go into executive session?
We'll talk about it at the end.
We'll make that session at the end.
Yeah. Are you just talking about personnel matters, or?
Well, when I make the motion, I'll make it as such.
Okay.
So we will not. I guess we can approve the vouchers that have not been pulled out, but if we've got it. We're going to rework these. We might go over these. We might as well.
Well, I mean, I don't think these are going to get approved this month. They're missing information, and so they'll have to come back next month. And so that's not specifically what I want to discuss.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and approve the vouchers that
I move that we approve the vouchers that we all have signed.
Second.
Okay. I gave them the Chanda, so. Is there a second?
Second.
We seconded. There's been a motion to approve the vouchers that we accepted and seconded. Any other comment from the board?
No.
There being none, all those in favor of accepting the vouchers that were signed, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried. Okay, has everybody had an opportunity to read through the minutes of last month's board meeting?
Move to approve.
Second.
Second. Okay, there's been a motion to approve the minutes, and it's been seconded. Any comment from the board?
Yes, I have a comment. Mrs. Graves has mentioned that she contacted the county for the road gravel. And it was me. It wasn't Mrs. Graves. It was Mrs. Camino.
So I amend my motion.
Yes, please. And I'm not a big correction, but when I was reading, I was like, oh, I didn't know this.
And I also found a motion made by Mrs. Daughter as opposed to Mr. Daughter. And I was assuming your wife was.
Yeah. I'll try to fix that too.
Right here.
And this is just a small thing, but we need to get to know our partner over there for the bulletin. His name is Peter. P-E-D-E-R.
Grant, are you listening?
Yes, ma'am. P-E-D-E-R.
How do you pronounce it?
Okay.
Just Peter. Peter. Just the same, pretty much.
How do you pronounce your last name?
Schaefer.
Schaefer.
S-C-H-A-F-E-R.
A-F-E-R.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, thank you.
So,
now we can approve.
Now, so all those in favor of accepting the minutes as adjusted, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. I should be holding here to make this full vote. So, I'll make a vote. So, minutes have been approved. Now the financial report.
Jim, you want to hear this schedule?
The first part of the financial report is the balance sheet. Nothing out of the ordinary there. YoStar's statement did come in, so that is an accurate rate and accurate balance there for May. Profit and loss. I do want to point out we received the county treasurer's check. We are now not only getting fiscal year 23 mineral funds, we are also getting fiscal year 24 mineral funds. And talking to Carla, I guess I'll just talk about this now.
That's great.
As far as the budget, from what everybody understands, if we don't assess the same mill that we did 2 years ago when these funds were collected, we have to return funds. So, I guess kind of keep that in mind. And on the budget, we're going to have a discussion. We're going to go at 0.6725, which is what we did last year. But 2 years ago, we were at 1 mil. So, unless we took the 1 mil, we would have to turn back. Luke, do you remember the balance?
I don't. I'm trying to find it today. I know it's
70.
Like, yeah.
70-some thousand dollars. We have to give back to the county. So, that would take our reserves quite a bit farther down.
It was like 100, rather than 170,000, we talked about it was over 250,000 that we'd have to eat into reserves, just based on that, having to return the mineral revenue back to the mineral companies that was already been previously collected.
Okay. So we adjusted the preliminary budget, and you guys will see this before you approve it, final, to take the 1 mil as we did 2 years ago and lower the amount that we'll have to take out of the reserves.
Good.
So I guess keep in mind that we are already getting 24 money, so if you decide to change the mil.
But that's based on what we took last year then?
Yes.
Would that be based on the 0.66? And yes. So what happens if we increase our mil?
I don't know. I haven't heard anybody say that they're giving us more money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All very confusing.
Very confusing, yes.
Did Commissioner Novotny have any insight on that?
I haven't talked to him.
Okay.
Everything I'm going off of is what Carla found out and what she's finding out from other treasurers around the state.
And how we're having to handle that.
Yep. So just something to tuck in the back of your mind and keep in mind for future years. I don't think, other than what you questioned on your voices, there was anything out of the ordinary, unless there's any other questions there. I think about 5 pages later, we get to the profit and loss budget versus actual. The board runs dating checks the previous month, so we are 92% through the fiscal year, because June checks will be paid yet this fiscal year, making us 100%. There are a few line items that are over, but the total expenditure is 75% of what you budgeted to expend thus far.
Questions about that portion of it?
Questions? I'm not sure when they fit in. So if you, once I start asking my question, a couple of line items. Is that later?
No, I think now. I mean,
okay.
If we're talking about, I mean,
yeah. I question
a desk from Amazon for $318.99. Why do we need another desk?
That's
a KC desk.
The desk we have was requested for the KC office, and so we had to replace that.
Okay.
And I offered to let them just purchase new, but they didn't really like that desk.
Fair enough. That's why I'm asking. the Lenovo IdeaPad for almost $400. Can you explain why we need a Lenovo IdeaPad?
That's a laptop for here, for the office here.
What happened to our other computer?
I have one, or Paul has one, and then it has one, and then we, I got Paul the new one, and then this is the one that we keep in here. So that was basically for the shop office.
I think that's a lot of money that we haven't talked about in our budgeting. Last 2 months when we've been talking about budgeting, nothing's been said about a new computer. So, I just wanted to mention that.
Well, it's within the limit that's allowed. I believe the limit is $1,500.
And I would like at some point to address that limit, but not right now.
We'd have to put that on the agenda.
Okay.
I believe it. Trying to remember where exactly it stipulates.
That's okay. I'll ask for it to be on the agenda.
We could set it up for next month and put it on new business on next month's agenda. Hey, Charlie, you're still up, I believe.
I don't have anything else on this. Unless
you have anything. So, I guess a couple things. We entertain a motion to approve that portion of the treasurer's report. And then we need to go move into the budget discussion to kind of finalize our.
I move that we approve the financial report. I second.
Budget separate. So there's been a motion to approve the financial report. And second, is there any other comment from the board? This time, there being none, all those in favor of accepting the financial report signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, the financial report is approved.
So then, I think the next item would be our final budget. And so, I don't think there were any big changes to it, with the exception of the discussion over our mill and how much to dip into the into our reserves. So initially we had voted to keep that mill levy the same as last fiscal year, not realizing that we have to return 70,000+ back to the mineral companies that have prepaid those mineral royalties.
Luke, I did find it 76,000, so it would make 253,000 out of reserves, as opposed to the 177 that was originally talked about.
And then the take from the reserves with this new, if we did the mill, would be 50.
Hang on, yeah, I got it right here. 51,000.
And so, Peter, we had discussed this, and I said, you know, I really would appreciate it. He was kind enough to wait until we could have this discussion so it was the will of the board and not the will of Luke and Chanda as far as submitting that preliminary budget number, because we had to have that in June 1st to the commissioners. And so that, I submitted it with the impression that we would take one mill just based on these discussions and the thought that taking $253,000 from reserves was probably irresponsible to kind of drain our reserves to that extent. But I certainly want to give you guys the opportunity to weigh in on that before we make a final approval of our budget.
And Luke, if I may, you guys don't actually approve your final budget until the July meeting.
To our hearing.
Yes.
This will be what we propose to the commissioners. We have our budget hearing with the commissioners on the 21st. So, and then a final budget hearing in July.
Yes.
So at this point, we have to decide.
Well, I guess we don't necessarily have to.
Well, I mean, we just leave it set as you submitted it. Correct?
I agree with the one.
Well, I think
the one
if we're going to do it, I would like a fresh, motion because the one that's on the books right now was to leave our mill at the 0.667. And so that decision was made without board approval. So I think if it is the will of the board, then I would entertain a motion to go forward with leaving it at one mil, as we discussed, and take 51,000 from our reserve.
So moved.
Is there a second? Second. There's been a motion to stay with the one mil, correct?
Well, yeah. Move to the one mil. I mean, previously we had discussed leaving it, and we would take some amount from
reserve. Sure, that the motion.
Yeah.
Correct. So there's been a second. Any other discussion from the board?
No.
There being none, all those in favor of moving to the 1% mil, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, signify by saying no. There being none, that motion is carried. So the budget summary has been sent to the county clerk.
Yes.
That's been.
And then the date of that budget hearing is the 21st at 9 a.m., I think.
And you and Chandler, can you be able
to? I will be there, yes.
You will?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And Chandler will be there, yeah. Anyone else interested in attending if, let's see, 9:30, was that right?
Luke, I didn't write that
9:30 down. On Wednesday, June 21st. If anyone else is interested, then. Okay.
Maybe. Where is it?
The
commissioner's office.
Commissioner's office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, the next item would be reviewing the bookkeeper contract. Here it comes.
Here it is. This is a copy. It's exactly like last year, except the term started in October because that's when the fire department hired me full time. But here in the middle, it states that it's July 1st, a renewable on July 1st, and that's the only changes to it. I do have a copy signed by Paul from the fire department. Did you guys approve that?
I would make a motion to approve the bookkeeping contract with the fire district.
I would second that.
There's been a motion to approve the chapter's contract or the contract with the fire district, and it's been seconded. Is there any other comment from the board? There being none. All those in favor of accepting this contract signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying no. There being none, contract is approved.
Thank you, guys. I'll get you a copy, Grant.
Okay, thank you.
Did you keep the fire?
I did. The fire pack's still in my fault. We're good.
The subliminal.
Okay. Grant, section report is up.
All right. Sexton's report we have there, we spent some time investigating brand options for the new mowers. I think we're kind of settled on the Bobcat now, and Paul has a few things. We've actually gone ahead and tried to work out a deal with some trading in some of our Kubota mowers for a couple Bobcats, and I'll let him address that right now if he's prepared for that.
No, I'm prepared.
So we are looking to trade in two two mowers. The Bobcats we're looking at are the big, they're 7,000s, 6 foot deck, zero turns. They're 15,000 a piece. I know we coming into next year's budget, I think they bought it like 30,000. So we're actually getting two mowers. But with the trade-in, we're only paying a few thousand for one. We're paying full price for one and paying a few thousand more. I'd like to work on sweetening the deal a little bit, but without approval, I'm not going to start that.
So are we trading in two mowers for two new mowers?
Yep.
Yeah. And we're getting a discount then.
So yeah, so you see the cost of them is $15,000, and then what their value in our trade-ins basically comes down to $18,000. So we pay $3,000 more for one more, basically.
Can you tell us how the age on these other the two trade-ins?
Well, the one we're looking at is a 2010 and a 2012. We have an 08, but actually the 2008 has less hours and is running way better than the rest of them. So
it's the 2010 and the 2012.
Yeah. And they're, I just looked today. Like, I think they're both over 3,000 hours on them. So, and the 08's got less because it was in the shop prior to me being here for almost a year. So,
it would appear to be kind of hard for us to approve purchase until we kind of have a better idea of what it's, I mean, you're still wheeling and dealing.
Well, that's their price right now. Yeah, I mean, we haven't done any more than to get an estimate or a quote, I guess, for what they're willing to give us for the trade-ins and what they're going to cost, and that's what they're charging for those mowers is about what they're what they cost about anywhere. So
anywhere.
I mean, if we want to go back to Kubota's, we're looking at $25,000 to $30,000 a piece. And we're going to be waiting probably a year to even get one. So, I mean, the school has a couple of them. They're smaller. They seem to like them. I know Kubota is a good brand. I'm not saying it's not. Just they're behind, way out. And everything else we looked at is $25,000 to $30,000 a piece. So,
which
seems more reasonable.
Warranty, do you know?
I don't know.
But we will have one, even though they're...
Oh, there'll be a warranty.
Yeah, there'll be a warranty. Warranty, what that degree is, whatever Bobcat puts out.
10 and 12 are the ones we're trading in. So 2010 and 2012. It's not what we're getting.
We're going to get a Bobcat.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it'd be 23s or 24s.
Yeah, it'll be, whatever. They probably, I'm going to guess 23s if they can get them ordered and get them coming. So
are they new?
Brand new.
Got it.
Yeah. We're not buying that necessarily a problem unless there's a problem when we get it. So we've
gone from replacing one Kubota with a new Kubota to replacing two
Kubotas with two new mowers. So we'd obviously still have three other mowers, so Kubota mowers. So I think it's worth trying to change it up for the price is right, in my opinion, and I think they run great, and let's give them a run. I mean, we're saying his, we'll have him for 5 years and not go back to him. I don't know.
And Dan's, he's servicing them.
He
can do warranty work? That would be my question.
I have to ask Eric if they can do the warranty work. He's a dealer for Bobcat, so I'm assuming.
Well, I would think he would.
He would be able to do it. Yeah. But it is, well, if he wouldn't be.
Yeah. So you're looking for a motion to approve? And this would be...
I mean, even if we start this, it ain't going to be till July anyways. I'm guessing that if they can order them this month, it'll probably be towards the end of July before we ever see them. So
you're looking for approval to move forward?
Yeah, I want to be able to start making a deal here and not waiting another whole month to wait. Because then we might as well just wait till spring and do it all over again. Because we'll be shaping up what we got.
I would make a motion to approve this.
I'll second it.
Purchase
of the mower.
Approve the purchase of the two Bobcat mowers. And second, any further discussion from the board? Moving on, all those in favor of moving forward with the purchase of the Bobcat signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. Moving on, motion is carried. Thank you, Paul.
Yep.
Okay, Grant, you're still on deck. You're still.
All right. So we interviews, hires, training summer employees. We're currently almost fully staffed. So that's
how many are employed right now?
What do we have, six summer employees, Paul? I think we have six total.
Six?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One is a part-time. They just come in. He just comes in very occasionally.
Okay, so there's six full-time for the summer?
Five full-time
for the summer.
Does that include Maddie? Or Bella?
Bella, yes. Bella's included with that. And the reason why was because we thought it would be more efficient use of part-time help if we could get someone to cover the office, and then I could support the crew out there personally rather than just hiring another high schooler to work out there. And mm-hmm. we thought that'd be more efficient use of those.
Yes, I agree.
So Bill is classified as a summer.
And she's part-time?
Yes. Or she's part-time, full-time. As in for the summer, she's full-time, but mm-hmm. in the fall, she'll go back to college. So
who's your part-time person? We only have one.
What's his name?
Is it Mason?
No. Sam Irving.
Oh, Sam Irving.
Sam Irving, yeah.
And I really think we should verify the age requirements for side-by-side.
Sure.
If they were to be insured, we need to verify that. Because God forbid, they have a 16-year-old driving, and they tip it over, and they're not insured because they're not 18. The other thing, I'm confident you already clarified this with them, their buddies don't get to ride with them side by side.
Right.
Because if that had gone over and the boy, who's not an employee, got hurt, then that's on us. And we can't afford that.
Right.
We don't want any injuries. We don't want any losses.
Right. Understandable. And we did address that. To the best of my knowledge, it's not happened again. So, that being said, our insurance policy does approve for the public to come in and ride in our equipment because frequently the people will come into the office and they'll want to go up into the cemetery with me to help explain or correct or whatever they need, answer questions. So our insurance coverage does account for the public riding along with us, but we feel like that definitely buddies, when they're trying to work, was a distraction and a liability, but so we addressed that.
Okay,
so.
Thank you.
All right, and then we correlated the irrigation ditch startup with the school groundskeeper. It's kind of a joint effort we go through, and we go up to the head gate and make sure everything's functioning properly, make sure it's cleaned and whatever, get that started together. And then we also correlate our clean out. You'll see that the next two items there are clean the irrigation canal on the property, and that's just removing leaves that's blown in. Historically, they've always burned the leaves in that ditch, and so there was a layer of muck in the bottom of that. We took that out of there as well, because we didn't burn leaves this year. It's too wet anyway, but we didn't burn the leaves last fall either from there. We just physically removed them. And so we cleaned, that's quite the project, cleaning out the irrigation canal on our property. And then I also walked it and cleared the Carwile Lobin ditch, and that is from the Clear Creek head gate to our property. I walked that and just throwed out branches and made sure it was clear and clean and running. So we correlate that with the efforts of the school district groundskeeper to get their irrigation system going. So then when we're all done, we go up together and get that head gate open and running. So we were able to get that project started.
I'd like to interject here real quick. This has to do with our irrigation. I mentioned, I believe it was in April or might have been the May meeting, that there was a possibility of purchasing some water rights at Willow Park. That's down the tubes. The family, the Nelchi family, has decided to retain those. They're offering a 15-year lease on them, but that would not work. That would not be anything we'd want to do here. We have to have something more solid. But in the same sense, Grant has visited with Tethia, who was Grant. There's a possibility that we can transfer the water that we're getting in the Carwile ditch to the Castle ditch, which is above the cemetery, to get that water into our storage system if that's the route we decide to go.
Mm-hmm. So that would eliminate the pumping of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then it would. So, Grant, I assume you're going to work on that as
yes.
well. But I just wanted to let the board know that those shares in Willow Park are next. I mean, but they're not available for sale. Okay. The family opted not to sell them. So now we have to look at other sources. But I think if we can swap that water from the Carlisle ditch, get it into that crown ditch. I said Castle ditch. It's a crown ditch. Mm-hmm. Get it into the crown ditch. Then we can just feed it right into our storage system, and we could eliminate our pumps.
Yeah.
So anyway, draft is where I just wanted to mention that real quick here.
And I'm currently working on that, so that'll be the next month's report. But I'll kind of look ahead in this report a little bit with it. And the engineering company that did our geological survey for when they bought the Joy Edition and did all that remapping of that property up in that area, because we have to have a grading of under a certain percentage in order to put grave spaces on it. And so the geological survey that was done in order to rescape the top end of this property and then into the Joy Edition, they had already done some survey for that area where we're looking to put the containers or containment system for the gravity feed irrigation system. So he said that the majority of the permits and requirements to transfer our water rights to the crown ditch would be less than, I think it was $2,500. So, and that would cover the required geological survey for that area and any of the permits and some of that work that would be required. They would be willing to do that paperwork to get that transferred. So basically pull the water from the crown gate instead of our gate. So I thought that was a good deal, but that's a project I'm working on this month. So that's coming down the pipe. So the multiple publications, I've tried to design a bifold and a trifold informational packet, and I had a prototype printed for me from the printer, and so we're getting very close with that. I've decided to wait until we can get some better quality photos to put on those. The ones I had were taken with the cell phone from around the property, and they're great photos, but by the time you get them printed, it seems like they became grainy. So I've got those designed. We just need to finish those up. And then we purchased trees for KC as well as Willow Grove. That's a yearly thing. And we'll be installing the Willow Grove trees this next week, and I think KC may have already installed theirs. The fence repairs, that was in KC. We had some posts that were broken off of the ground, like they'd been hit or something. I don't know. But anyway.
What about the gate in KC, the gate that goes into the cemetery? Has that been looked at, fixed? They need a gate. They need something that opens and closes like what we have. They have no gate to come into that cemetery.
Because it's just an old wire gate.
It's horrible. And it's not. It's open all the time because I don't think they can close it.
Didn't we ask Danetti to check? I believe Danetti.
We talked about the gate.
Yeah, I believe that we asked Danetti to check on it.
Yeah.
Look into that. Yeah. I haven't heard.
I mean, I don't know if she...
But you check with her about that gate, yeah, because we need it. That cemetery should have some protection, especially at night. Should be cool.
You might want to check on that grant, see if she's working on it.
Sure.
Yeah, see if she's working on that. She needs a new gate. I mean.
Okay. And then we were able to remove several tons of firewood and logs. They've been piled up the top of the hill with brush and dirt, and they're within view of the cemetery. And I'm trying to move the piles of things out of sight of the actual cemetery space. We've got plenty of room to get them out of sight, and so I'm trying to work on that. And I was able to get rid. I basically advertised for people, anybody wants firewood, come and get it, and just cut it and take it. And so I've had several takers on it. So that's a little bit of progress on that project. Then I met with Service Tech for my personal irrigation control module. That is on the side of our shop. Basically, we've had a control module that has not functioned, I believe, since the day they installed it. And I was able to have Service Tech walk me through what I had to do to get that and the remote functioning. So that's working now. And we graded all the roads, actually twice. And then we swept the gravel from the road shoulders from the plowing last winter, the excessive plowing we had to do. Ended up with extra gravel on the shoulders. And spread quite a ways off the road just because we had to push snow so far back. And we were able to get that put back up on the roads, and then graded it in. Of course, we addressed the multiple equipment breakdowns, which were a little nerve-wracking as we were trying to prepare for Memorial Day. But it's just the nature of the beast. So develop a future development display on the website as well as on the site. And that is basically, if you go up to the place of the cremation garden, you'll see that there's a small sign there with some pictures and things about what we're anticipating doing, just trying to inform the public of what we're doing and what to expect, and where we're at, and just trying to be as transparent as possible. And set up and assembled service equipment for Memorial Day events. And then we went through and cleaned floral arrangements from the graves on both KC and here. Danetti was able to do it there in KC, and we did it here. And our policy is that we basically, when it gets degraded, we will remove and throw it away if the family doesn't. There are some cemeteries that do a cleanup day, like at a certain day they inform the family, or it's posted that they will go, that we will go through and clean out any leftover flowers, arrangements, or anything like that. That we basically cleaned it up for the winter, really, and then we open it back up for people to redecorate their graves on a certain date. Usually it's like a week or two before Memorial Day. That gives people time to get it cleaned up. And so that might be something we consider, and I would like the board to consider in the future. It would definitely make fall cleanup as well as spring cleanup considerably easier for our staff if we weren't dealing with a truckload of flowers that's been blown around all winter. So, that's just a thought. Then you'll see there the anticipated project for this next. The water irrigation research, I'm still working on that, but that's not on that. But there's a lot of things that aren't going to be on there right now. So, start up and address needs of our irrigation system here. We anticipate getting our irrigation system set up and running. I have got, tomorrow I have a service tech coming in to look at our irrigation system, and then the following week I'm hoping to have someone come in and check on our pumps. And so, anyway. And then, of course, work, make some more progress in the brush and dirt piles at the top of the hill. And another thing I'm trying to work on is a volunteer portal on the website. So that is basically a place, because we do many events where people do volunteer, and sometimes they don't volunteer directly with us, they volunteer with other programs that come in and help us, like Saluting Branches, or the auxiliary comes in and helps us put flags out on the veterans' graves. So I'm trying to set up on our website a portal where if someone comes to our website, they can say, you know, I want to help in some way, but here's something I think we can do. And so one of the things I'm considering is trying to do kind of like an adopt-a-block program, like they do at the roadsides. You know, a youth group or a family or someone can say, you know, we want to maintain this area. I think that would take a lot of pressure off of our staff if we had people who are willing to volunteer. And then we could post on our website the people that do volunteer to adopt a certain area. But anyway, those are just some projects that I'm working on right now. The Sims report, we spent 2.6 hours updating Sims with our current burials. During the month of May, the progress in installing the recently digitized historical files into the Sims software was minimized to accommodate for the extensive work with spring cleanup projects, also known as Memorial Day preparations. And we had a committee meeting this last week, or this last month, about assessing the job description for the KC Sexton, Deputy Sexton. And so one of those was that she would adopt the work of installing the Sims, digitized copies that we've made, and try and get our software updated with that. And so that's, we're kind of setting up to do that. So, anyway. You'll see the year-to-date report. The burials last month, six. There's a lot of data there. I'll just let you look at that. Spare you the boredom of me reading through these numbers.
Five and six were cremations.
Yes, cremations right now are carrying probably better, in the overall, probably 70% or more of our burials. So that being said, I think that the cremation wall is definitely going to be a preferred or a good option for the public. I've heard several good comments about anticipating that.
For people who don't have families.
Right, yep. So I'm going to come back later and make sure they're buried. So there's no questions on that.
I'm sorry, I thought you were finished.
One more page there on the very last of the report. You'll see there's our burial request form. I did alter that just a little bit, and I felt like it was a little bit ambiguous, special requests and alterations. Our policy right now is basically if someone schedules a burial of any kind, we automatically try to provide them with all the equipment that we possibly have, the chairs, the awning, the carpet, the stands, the lowering device. And if they don't want that, then they have to request to not get that. And so we actually do get quite a few requests saying, well, we don't need the awning, or we're not going to be there, just a family going to stop in. But we still set it up, and that can take some time and several employees to do. So guess what I did was if you look at the lower statement there, these are both copies off the barrel request form. The lower one's basically circle equipment needed. I thought that was a little very simplified, showed what we're going to provide or what we have available at no extra cost. And so there's that small change in the barrel request form. I just thought I would try to give us a heads up about that.
I'm a little confused.
Okay.
I would think that these are given, that we are going to provide ground
yes.
cover, we are going to provide chairs to sit in, we are going to provide an awning,
mm-hmm.
we are going to provide an urn stand if it's a cremation.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they need to request those?
Basically, if they're going to circle all those, if they don't want something, they'll leave it uncircled. That's kind of my thought on that.
I think that that's a given, this is what you get.
Right.
You get the full service. You get everything we got.
Yeah, if at all possible, we do.
Because I know that there was a...
But if they don't want safer jobs, they don't
want... If they
want
don't want it, then they can say...
Yeah, that's what they would do with this form.
But I know it was irregular, but on Memorial Day afternoon, for Mr. Crawford, it was raining, and there was no awning. There were no chairs for Bev Campbell Crawford. She's 90 years old. Get the woman a chair. I think these should be given. These are the basics that everyone gets. Unless you say, you know what, we're just going to do a drive-by and keep going. You know.
Well, the burial request that I received did say that they didn't want any of that equipment. So that was easy. That was exactly what they asked for.
Okay.
And so we tried to service them best we can.
Okay.
Even though it was a holiday, we did have other purposes going on with that equipment. We were
in the morning.
We were running staff that day, other than myself. So I
was
trying to do all of that.
Since it was raining, I thought, oh, it would be nice if, it just pulled it over because it wasn't that far away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But they did request to not have that, which would have created trouble if we could, or if they wanted all that, because then I would have had to add more staff in here to get that takedown from the service areas to get set up over there.
Okay.
And we don't typically run staff.
I just always want to roll out the green carpet in our case.
Yeah.
Not the red carpet, roll out the green one. And
For everyone.
Mm-hmm. All right.
How about if we just change the wording to circle equipment not needed? So then the expectation is that they get that every time.
They get
everything
that every time.
You provide.
Yeah.
Capitalize not.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And then the expectation is you're going to get it all.
Yeah.
If for some reason you don't need it.
I like that.
Let us know.
Yeah, that makes it very simple. I like it.
So I would make a motion to approve this update with that change.
A second.
And a motion to approve the burial request form updates. Any other comments from the board? There being none, all those in favor of accepting the updates with was it as needed or
not needed?
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed.
Aye.
Being none, motion's carried.
And speaking of updated, our directory out here has not been updated since July 30th of 2022. So if someone comes in here to look at a family member that was recently passed, they're not going to know where they are. The directory book that's outside. That needs to be updated every time someone passes.
Yes. That is, I believe it should be. I thought we tried to get that updated before Memorial Day.
No, look at the date on it. It says July 30th.
Well,
it
might have
been before Memorial Day,
oh,
but before that.
On the top of the page.
It was because we had a woman looking.
Yeah.
And it just nothing had been updated in the most recent date we found. And not just for family members.
From July of 2020.
22, it said.
Two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. 2022.
So I'm like, well, that's just an ongoing thing. Yes. Right. Not every page needs reprinted.
Right.
If you just add one on,
just
there.
Add one.
Just print that page if it fits.
Yeah, that page.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So.
We can do that.
Okay.
We can do it on every burial. Every burial.
Perfect. And I have some questions, too.
Sure.
That's one of mine. Did you get the phone things straightened out? Because I, last month, received so many calls because they couldn't get a hold of you and the mailbox was full. Did you get all that phone thing straightened out?
Well, to be honest with you, I have and I haven't. I have been very faithful to check numerous times in every day to make sure that that voicemail box is open and available. I have done that for some time. The fact that people are saying that their mailbox is full doesn't make sense to me because it's almost never full. We do receive numerous calls in a day, and so I'm very careful to make sure that that mailbox is available.
Act on those and delete them. And
so, yeah.
Now, when they're forwarded to your cell phone when you're out working, is it your cell phone that's full, or I don't know.
I'm not sure I checked both. I did just, now that we have Bella in the office, I was able to take the forward off of the office phone so that it comes to here. And that may, I'm wondering if maybe this one wasn't for some reason saying it was full simply because it was forwarded and it couldn't access this one. That may have been the case. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me because that mailbox simply is not full all the time. In fact, it's very seldom is it full.
I had three.
So hopefully that might clear that up. Now that
okay.
we have
you had a nice segue into another question.
Sure.
I'd like to know what Bella's duties are. Is she doing Sims? Is she?
Mm-hmm. No, she's not doing Sims. She is basically, what I've tried to do is split the paperwork that comes into this office. Part of it is the administrative side of it, just the operational things, and then some of it is burial requests. If we have a family come in and they want to purchase some spaces, or if they want to bury someone here, there's a lot of paperwork that goes into that. It takes a couple hours per folder, I call it, per event. So is what I've done is split all of those updates in our system based on sales and interments. I've separated those from the rest of the operational paperwork, and that's what she's doing. She's basically processing all of that and updating our systems, and also that frees some pressure off of my desk and also frees my time up to an extent that gets me out of the
office. Sure, I understand that part. I'm just wondering what she does during the
course
of the day.
That's it.
I'm hoping that there's time for Sims.
Sure. Well, ideally, she is updating Sims with everything that's new that's coming in. So all the historical stuff, I think Danette is kind of wanting to do that. I could have Bella work on that if the board's okay with that. She's updating everything that comes in currently. So she is doing all the Sims at this point from the point I'm hired for.
Okay, so she is doing Sims.
She's not taking care of the backlog, is what he's saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I certainly would be more than happy if we had everyone that has downtime to be taking care of that backlog. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I'm glad Bella's doing the new.
Yeah.
And the ideas are doing the new. Because backlog is backlog. Right. It's not going to change.
So I'm sorry, maybe I kind of understood your term as the Sims project of trying to upload all the historical files. So that is what Danette's working at. And so they're both working on Sims, I guess. One is historical and one is current. So that helps.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have more questions.
That's all right.
I see we have an invoice from the tree trimming place.
Mm-hmm.
Please distinguish what they did from what Saluti Branches is planning to do.
It's not. It was, I looked at it, it was under tree trimming, but it was actually the new tree.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
We purchase so many trees every year, and that comes out of that. And we don't use up the entirety of that budget, and part of that is because Usually we try to leave any problem trees for cylinder branches to deal with, but that doesn't mean a tree is not going to fall before September. So that basically gives us some kind of like an emergency fund to hire, have a tree service come in here and do it.
I'm sorry, I missed the deals for the missions.
Okay. But that expense was taken out for the
trees. Can I, since we're talking about trees real quick, we're going to start trimming these trees up so we can get our mowers, you guys can get under them with weed eaters, because it's not good. There's a lot of places, so, I mean, I don't know if anybody will complain, but we are going to start trying to get 6-8 feet up off the ground so we can get closer with the mowers and get under with weed eaters. There's places we can't get into weed eats, so I don't know if there will be anybody that will complain about it, but we are going to. All the pine trees, everything, so we can get up and keep them clean. So that was something that we will be doing.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
All right, two more things. Sorry, and they'll be fast. So.
It's okay.
I will say that there's a noticeable difference in the cemetery between the week before Memorial Day and the weekend of Memorial Day. A lot happened that week. Was it phenomenal? No, but it was significantly better. So thank you for that. I would like to recommend that on your calendar that you guys mentally prepare that Memorial Day is the week before it is. Because we have so many families coming in to put out flowers, and like one family drove 4 hours to put out flowers, not having any idea that they would have to go buy a rake and bags to clean their family plot before they could even put out flowers. So if we can mentally think, we need to be prepared a week ahead of time, because, you know, there are a dozen cars out there at a time, you know, just putting out flowers and visiting and reconnecting. But
yeah,
just
a week's busy.
Just mentally, we know we want to buy Memorial Day, but if you just mentally a week ahead, then a little pressure off you.
Sure.
Okay.
And I think it would be maybe as a way of explaining, we are absolutely in agreement with that. The sooner we can get better for Memorial Day, or the sooner that we can get things in better condition for Memorial Day, the better. But that being said, we've got to fit a lot of preparation and cleanup and updates and things like that in a window of time that's like from the time the ground thaws to that, and sometimes that's only a couple of weeks, and so we definitely kind of push it. This year especially has pushed us right up to Memorial Day trying to get all.
No, I don't. So. I don't need any explanation or anything. I'm just that was just.
That's good.
Just my suggestion.
It's great. We like it. I hope it works out.
Okay, I have one last one. And if you say this is not the time, I'm okay with that too. We knew, and we talked about last month, that there was going to be overtime this month. And we're okay with that, because you can't say no overtime and get the job done at the same time. Okay, so, but henceforth, going forward, there should, in my opinion, there should be no overtime unless for specific reason that's approved ahead of time by you. Because there's nothing time-bound anymore. Now it's
regular.
It's regular business as usual. Again, the shop is not time-bound. Don't get done today. Do it again. Work on it. There's nothing time-bound right now. So I don't see any reason for any overtime from here on out unless it's well justified and approved prior by the chairperson.
Well, there's going to be some overtime on Saturday burials for regular staff.
That's different. Yeah,
that's a different situation.
That's a different situation.
So we can't simply say absolutely no overtime.
That's a different situation. I'm talking about regular business, regular 40-hour week.
I think we've kind of been operating under that understanding when the board basically said that we could use the overtime up to Memorial. The idea was up to prepare for Memorial Day.
Right, for the month of June.
So we've kind of been operating under the idea that after Memorial Day, the pressure was off.
That's good.
That's we're understanding. Okay. All right, good deal.
You'll have some carryover because payday was our hours had to be turned in early, like a week before Memorial Day. So those 13, 14 hour days I was working is going to show up next month. So
understood.
I don't want you to say, well, we said when it's actually coming back from paying off the
bank. Understood.
So there will be some on next month, but it won't be because of that last.
That's what he just explained.
Okay. Yeah. Just make sure we're on the same page.
Understood.
All right. I'm going to call for a brief recess, 74-year-old ladder.
I agree. My 72-year-old ladder needs to go too. I'm sad.
Are you ready?
Yeah. We're short? No, we're not short.
We're not short. Okay. I might be short. I might be
short. No, I'm short. Okay, meeting, call the meeting back into session. Grant, I assume the section report is
finished.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to, just briefly, I want to commend the employees for the work they put in to prepare for Memorial Day. I know it wasn't perfect out there, but it was done.
Better.
Sure.
It was better.
Presentable. Yeah. Good. So thank you. And I thank Paul too for the help. So, are there any guest presentations or bids?
I don't see any.
Unless Kate or Bella have something.
Come on, Bella.
Now we'll go to unfinished business, the insurance addendum.
So I think this refers to the employee benefit addendum. Is that what you're talking about? Was that what that was referring to? So, sorry. Anybody else care for one, Kate? So this is just kind of the start to kind of putting our benefits down on paper, and that's where I think we have some sick leave discussion. And so does everything else look right to everyone on that?
This is the county's insurance. What company is it? Is it Blue Cross? What insurance do they carry? Do you know what your company insurance is?
I believe it's Blue Cross.
It's Blue Cross Blue Shield.
And then I think they have something else for dental, but I don't remember what that is right now.
A Delta Dental, maybe?
Maybe.
And that's included with the, I didn't get that, so I need to get that in there. Dental policy is included with it too, is that true, Grant?
Yes.
Okay.
No vision, though.
There is vision.
Oh, and vision and dental. So vision is separate.
So vision is
probably separate.
That's probably
VCN.
Too, I think.
Yeah, there was something that I got.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't see a dental policy, is it?
There is.
Oh, there is. Okay.
There
I'll
is.
Get back to
I don't know exactly
Jane,
what it is, but
it's a little hard to
tell. I don't know what vision.
But, and then the employee match there. And that was probably a better question for Chanda, but she said something about 9.25% is subtracted, and then it's matched with 9.37. So it seems like more than a match. But so that was what the numbers were provided to me. And then here's your vacation accrual. Mm-hmm. And then if you guys have your handbook, you can kind of answer this question together. So it's in section 9 and then page 12.
So you accrue 8 hours a month for sick leave then. Your first 0 to 5 years.
This
is the same as like vacation pay then? I'm trying to, because it's vacation 0 to 5 years, you earn 8 hours. So would you earn the same with sick leave then?
So I guess, this makes pretty clear to me that the sick leave will accumulate at a rate of 8 hours per month for full-time employees.
Right.
So the way Grant's been calculating sick leave because of misunderstanding, I think, is based on this formula that follows the rate of accumulation. But that, to me, if we read that, employees who are in service for less than a full calendar month because of date of employment or absence from duty without pay shall receive credit of sick leave as follows. But the way that's written, that really should only apply to people that have been employed less than a month. Is that the way you understand that?
The rate of 8 hours per month for full-time employees. Employees who are in service for less than a full calendar month because of date of appointment. Yes, that's that word right there. Yes, that's what it looks like. So if you work less than a month, you still earn 8 hours of sick leave. Duty without pay shall receive a credit of sick leave as follows. The following rates. Okay, so right now I understand if I'm 31 days or less, 8 hours per pay period. Mm-hmm. They get paid once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now going on, 1 through 80 working hours of service. None. Okay, because that's 2 weeks of work. So you don't get any for 2 weeks. 81 through 160, 4 hours. There, after 4 hours, or 160 hours of service. That's a month.
But who does that apply to?
Full-time employee and full-time employee.
Okay.
Yeah. You've got to be full-time to get the full benefits. Part-time,
we offer no benefits.
No, I understand that, but at what point does this formula come into play? To me, the first sentence, I think we should eliminate all the rest of this confusion because if you look here, people are accruing greater than 8 days of sick leave based on the full, which I don't think is the way that was meant to be, but I don't know that. I don't know the intent of this policy. I mean, to me, the sick leave pay will accumulate at the rate of 8 hours per month for full-time employees is pretty simple. And then after that, it gets very cloudy. The way I would interpret that would be that employees who are in service for less than a full calendar month.
Okay, does that include Joe Baker Donuts, who's been working here for a year and a half? He works 2 weeks out of the month, then quits. He still gets.
But you don't get paid for sick leave.
No, that wasn't what I was going to say. He still gets 4 hours of sick leave.
But if he quits, upon termination of retirement, let me
reframe that. Joe starts the 15th of the month and works 2 weeks. 80 hour or 160.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't work a full month, but he gets 4 hours.
That's what I would interpret it.
If you look at the last article under that, it says thereafter 4 hours for every 160 hours of service. So that's after the 160 working hours, which would be a full month.
But that's only applying to employees who are in service for less than a full calendar month.
So if they're employed for less than full calendar month, they wouldn't get the hours for working a full calendar month, which would be 160. So I took that to mean that this bullet list applies, of rate of accumulation also applies to other employees as well. And thereafter 4 hours, because it says thereafter. So if they worked more than 160 hours, then they would have had to work here more than a month to get the 160 hours. And so thereafter, 4 hours for every 160 hours of service would be another, which means if they worked more than 2 months worth of hours in less than 1 month, by the idea that it only applies to people who started within a calendar month, then they would get an extra 4 hours, which is almost physically impossible. So I deducted that this bullet list applied to all employees, or part of it applied to all employees. So If they've gotten over 160 hours, which means they've worked a full month, thereafter, 4 hours for every 160 hours of service, which equals out to 0.025 hours for anything overtime, which would be over 160 hours.
So I would make a motion to strike the rest of the wording in 4.3 after sick leave pay will accumulate at a rate of 8 hours per month for full-time employees to eliminate the confusion.
I agree.
To strike. I'm sorry. What was that again?
I would make a motion to strike everything in 4.3 after the first sentence.
We're going to have to. Your motion is to amend it.
Well, it would be amend the employee handbook.
The policy and the employee handbook.
Yes.
So we would eliminate A, the rate of accumulation, or There's been a motion, and I believe you seconded.
Well,
is there any other further discussion?
Yes, there is further discussion. Yes, I'm trying to put this.
My question is, maybe it'd be easier to remove employees who are in service less than a full calendar month. That's confusing because it makes it sound like the rate of accumulation applies to employees who are in service for less than full calendar month. It should just be employees. Because then it goes on to say, hey, if you only work here 2 weeks, you don't get any sick days. If you work here over 2 weeks.
I just think it's super confusing, and that's how we end up with 8.3337.
Yeah, we can't have 8.8887. And it doesn't go into overtime, does it?
So if we,
the way that Grant's calculating, he's calculating it based on this formula, which I only take to apply to employees who are in service less than a full calendar month. But I can see where the confusion would come in, because we're all confused. So I don't know what the intent of whomever drafted this was. They're obviously not here any longer.
But it's 8 hours per month, not 8 hours plus overtime.
It should just be just straight 8 hours a month of sick leave. Period. Not an 8.33.
If you work half the time, you get
4 hours. Or 8 hours a month.
That's what that was.
My calculator. Yes. Yeah. 8 hours a month. Just like this. 8 hour a month.
If you work 2 weeks of the month, you get 4 hours.
That's where we get
confused. Yeah. If you quit. But or start in the middle of the month.
With your emotion. Be just give what I've outlined here. If we would just amend this just one simple sentence, sick leave will with pay will accumulate at the rate of 8 hours per month for full time employees.
Yeah, well, that's zero to your first 5 years. You'll get 8 hours a month. And you'll accumulate.
No, that's vacation.
Oh, that's vacation.
Sick leave is safe. And it's eight hours per month.
And then if you quit, you don't get paid your sick leave.
Right.
Do you get paid your vacation if you quit?
Yes.
Yeah. In answer to Luke, I've sat with John Zorbas, and we base this on the counties. What the county, we basically, what's it called when you...
We plagiarized
the county's handbook when we printed this up. So well, we've got multiple board members, so we can make adjustments here as needed. And so we need to write up an amendment. And we need to figure out where we're going to live. I can write up the amendment to be voted on at next month's meeting. But I want to make clear that the board understands. I mean, we don't want to eliminate what should not be eliminated. How far how far are we going to eliminate it?
Just that section.
Just the first section, John. Right there. That one
so
that you're highlighting.
4.3.
Yeah.
No. 4.3, the new one, the amended form would reach just simply sick leave or pay will accumulate at the rate of $8 per
month. No, we need to
for
do
full-time
the
employees.
That is super complicated and confusing. So we would just have to, we would get rid of the next sentence. And then block A. So we wouldn't get rid of all of
B seems complicated. 81 through the 160.
We'd have to leave 2 and 3.
2 and 3 would stay in place.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Question on 2. 320 hours per year?
Total.
That's all you can accrue.
Yeah.
And for us?
Yeah.
Got it. And there's no use it or lose it type thing. It's just you accrue 320 hours of sick leave.
After that,
you carry it. Then you carry it forward to the following year.
No, that's total.
That's total.
Okay. Strike this. Be struck. And A would be struck. Correct.
Yes.
Section A, subsection A, B, and C will all be struck.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I will.
So if we definitely can vote on it. But that gives clarity to this because that I was very confused and I was trying to. Yeah. And then the only other thing I need to put on here is personal or convenience leave. So I will add that as well. And I'll bring this based on the proposed amendment to next meeting.
Okay, I would like a little more clarification on 8 hours. Is that total or is that per month?
Sick leave will pay will accumulate at the rate of 8 hours per month.
Personal convenience.
No, 8 hours, and then after the first 90 days, they get 8 hours. Upon completion of 1 year, they get 16 hours. But it must be used within the year that it's available. So for the first year, after 90 days, they get 8, and then the year after, they get 16 to use throughout the year. It doesn't accrue.
Okay.
It resets.
It's just boom, 8. Yep. Happy 90-day anniversary. Here's 8 hours. Yeah. Basically. Got it. Clarification.
So you want to write an amendment for 4.2 as well?
Nope.
No. No.
I think that one.
It's okay.
Yeah, that one makes sense.
That would make sense to us. I just can't
figure out who this rate of accumulation, why it doesn't apply to this 8 hours full-time employees, and it's just simpler to, and that's what Chanda gave me the fire district's policy, and they just accrue per month.
8 hours.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, they do. They work 1 day, so they work 4 tens, and so they get 1 day of leave per month.
So the hours need to be adjusted on there.
Well, I mean, that's a question. I mean, I still don't know that we understand the intent of that subsection.
I think.
Or the hours accumulated on here based upon the regular hours plus overtime.
I'm assuming that was the intention, so that you would still require sick leave if you had to work overtime. I think that was that's my assumption. I wasn't there, so. Which I think is fair, but I can also see how it definitely lends to a lot of confusion trying to keep track of all that, too.
Which one do you think is fair?
to assume that if you have to impose on an employee to require overtime of them, that you would award them a small percentage of sick leave as well.
Mm-hmm. I just think for clarity's sake and calculation's sake, it's just so much easier just to leave it a day per month. I wouldn't vote that we necessarily go retroactively, but now that we've cleared the air, we can apply it.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I don't know if we can necessarily change that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, to me, this is pretty clear that this applies to people that are in service less than a full calendar month, so that if they're full-time, we hire them on, they still get some sick leave. If they get sick three-quarters of the way into their month, their first month of employment, I think was the intention. That's the way I read it, but I don't know if everyone else reads it, and so I can see certainly where Grant's interpretation came from, so I'm fine. That would be my thoughts, but anything else on this employee benefit besides the personal leave, the dental and vision, and then a written out 8 hours per month sick leave?
Grant, are you changing from employee only to family?
Possibly. Probably, I don't know about my one child is handicapped, and so we've kind of had her set up. We don't want to mess with that probably, so she may not be, but my other children, possible. We'll definitely look at it. I think we have some good rates of what we're doing now, but we would definitely consider it.
Okay.
That's all, I think, as far as that goes. I guess we wouldn't approve this until we finalize those changes.
Yeah, I'll get those done. I'll write an amendment for that, and we'll vote on it next month. Any other questions on the insurance addendums? The other report for the from the bidding process.
I'm tired of listening to it.
Yeah.
Never.
Dave said you would handle it.
So this is pretty much the same as what we had brought, or what I guess I had brought. Dave has quite a bit of experience with securing contracts in the military, and so he lended his expertise, and then Grant gave his opinions too. And so I tried to incorporate all of those. Grant thought we should really include committees, because I think for bigger projects, I agree, committees are going to be driving the bid process, and so, but for smaller items, I think we're going to get committeed out would be my two cents, and so I think at times bids can be handled by a single board member in conjunction with Grant, so I just changed that wording in there to board member / committee, and then Dave was really wanting to get specific on the work so that we don't run into a lot of the stuff that we have in the past, but making sure that the contractors have all available drawings, sketches, and that if it's complicated enough that they come and do a walkthrough with Grant or the board member and Grant or whomever. So if we think it's complicated enough, we can check that box to have them come in. And then, I think the next was materials to be supplied by contractor. We had that in the initial kind of set. Dave really wanted to make sure that if we're going to put them in there, that they note lead times and any expected delays in obtaining the materials. So that we don't accept a bid from X company and they say, oh, by the way, I can't get materials for a year, but that's kind of included in their bid report, if possible, I suppose, is what I got from him. But he's been kind of in and out of touch, and so I don't know that I've gotten his final opinion on this, but I think we got it in there. And then if we're supplying the supplies, which the only why I included that is I think the burial wall, for example, would be something that we have and we would supply to that contractor to put into place for the burial garden.
So this is to make sure that we get the same information from different companies. No less.
Right.
No more.
Exactly.
Apples
to them.
Apples.
Right. So that they're working off of the same
and from
them, hopefully.
And if I'm in charge of this little project and I'm the one working it, I need to vet this so that to make sure that before we get to this table,
that we have the exact information we need. Mm-hmm. Oh, you gave us too much. We don't want 100 apple trees around it. Please take that off. Or mm-hmm. or they just don't come to the table because they didn't give us what we want.
And I think what I tried to include with this is that you know, the board member committee reviews the bids before the date of the meeting so that we don't spend an hour mulling each bid and then we don't have what we need. So hopefully at a date prior to, whether that's via email or via whatever, I mean, I guess we have to be a little careful with open meeting stuff, that we don't have over a quorum present. But that you review those in advance with Grant so that whoever is in charge of that bid, when they come to this meeting, they say, we got four bids, here they are. My recommendation is that we go with the John, you know, with Deere mower or whatever, just so that we can try to streamline the process. So
I like it.
So this can, I'm just trying to think now, where do we incorporate this into the policies and procedures? Or is this just...
To me, I don't know that this necessarily needs to be policy. I suppose like it could be policy that this is the way we handle all bids and this is the way it's done.
It's not real hard for them to
figure
that.
Simple is good.
Yeah. Hopefully we can email this to them and they can put it in the electronic. Yeah.
Well, this would be almost all of this would be supplied by us, right? So this is what we're giving to them to request a bid. But
okay, so it should be fillable on
our end, or Grant, or whomever.
I'm just trying to think of where we put this. I guess I can figure out where to put it.
Are we bidding any new projects? Doing any bidding right at the moment for anything?
We're just the cremation garden.
Just the cremation garden. I know we have projects.
So we haven't found anyone yet to set that wall up or the contractor to do that?
We have two contracting options. And Liz actually texted me today and asked if we were open for a third. I assume you would be.
Well, we'll take as many as we can get.
Sure. Yeah.
We don't have a deadline, though.
I'll walk by.
Because this is going on and on and on and on. Yeah.
So it could be something kind of like the burial request form. It's not really necessarily policy procedures. It's just approved by the board.
We could use something.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to clarify where this document is going to be.
So I could mark it approved by the board, but on this date, could that be acceptable? Okay.
Sure.
We need a motion.
But it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah. I move that we accept the bidding process form. I second that.
Second, any further discussion from the board?
No.
Being done, all those in favor of accepting this bid request form signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. Being done, the bid request form is accepted. Report from the meeting, with county vote, I believe that.
They were calling Grant. I think Scott called you, didn't he?
Shelly stopped by and visited with me, but he did visit with Paul, and I asked him to be here, but he may have had some reason to go.
Oh, Jeff did from the commissioner's office.
Yes.
Yeah, and Jeff visited with me also. But,
yeah.
He doesn't see any problem with it, but.
Right.
And Scott said he was going to call you, so.
So. The visit I had with Jeff Shelley, basically he kind of looked at our roads, and I know he visited more extensively with Paul, but the little bit that I talked to him about it, he mentioned two things. He said, one, the roads look incredible. He said, I don't think they really need anything else. And then the second thing, he said, even if we were open to assisting you, but our grader is so big, road grader, that you didn't think we'd even fit at the majority of our roads. It might be the main roads, but that's about it.
And that's what I said. The main roads
would be pretty limited.
Would be important ones, but they look good. So,
yeah.
Well, if the county, if you ever need the county's help, I guess
yeah.
you could call them.
yeah. could help. It's good to yep. hear that you said that they'd be open to assistance yeah. again. So.
They would be.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
And a report from the job description committee that I was a part of that. And we're going to revise the KC
Deputy Sexton's
duties, the description of her duties. And basically what it does, it's relatively simple, it puts her duties primarily at the KC Cemetery. I didn't know if Liz was going to write up the amendment to the job description. And I don't know if we necessarily have to. I believe we could change that job description with a simple vote. I don't believe we have to amend it. I believe...
Well, is she making any changes to the job description?
Well, all basically...
Or adding, drafting? So I would say we need to see that.
Changing the wording.
I think we need to bring Liz down next month.
I do too, with Liz here.
I think, because isn't she also going to be the immediate supervisor?
No.
Okay.
That's one of the things that would not change.
Okay.
It creates, by doing that, creates some inconsistencies
sure.
that we don't want to get involved with. Okay. I've got a copy of here, for example, all it does is add basically that her duties are at KC. Unless in an emergency, if there's an emergency here, if she's needed here, say you got three burials in a day or something like that.
Somebody
other than that, her duties would be basically relegated to the KC Cemetery. And that's basically the only thing that we changed in the job description for the deputy section at KC. So that's what we changed. But I can get together with Liz again. I was hoping she'd been here today to explain, because she's going to run with this, because it's her baby, so she's going to run with it. So,
okay.
So we'll let's.
So let's table that for
table
next.
That.
Yeah. And with Liz here. Okay.
Is there any new business? There's nothing on the agenda. I would ask any board member if we need an executive session.
I would make a motion to move into executive session for personnel matters.
Okay. Second. Aye.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay.